you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Good.
Good.
Awesome. Well, I'm already recording, so I guess we've already started the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So, welcome everybody. Rumpard Reviews. What the heck? I mean, what's the podcast?
Welcome to ZomboCom.
Oh, man. Yes, this is the Seanorama for the Sean Geek Podcast with his brother, Todd.
Hey.
And we're both driving, so it's double the on-the-road fun for you, because we're both in two separate vehicles driving.
There you go.
So today...
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Okay, great.
So we talked about this briefly a second ago, so... The topic of discussion today that came up, and this can relate to tabletop D&D, this can relate to World of Warcraft or Elder Scrolls or anything like that, and it is the idea that do you prefer to let the game you're playing in choose the character for you, or the DM to create the character for you? So basically, do you want to have a pre-generated character that you had no hand in creating? Do you just care about playing the game, or would you rather take the time and investment and create your own character?
Now, are you talking about characters with predetermined skills, or are you talking about just physical attributes?
Everything, predetermined. You go in, everything's done for you, you don't get a chance to do anything. You just go in and play the character. That's it.
Okay. Well, I guess tabletop would be a little bit different. But for me, for example, I used to play Warcraft. I play every once in a while now. But they give you, they'll give you a character depending on what type of a race you are, and if you're a paladin or a mage or whatnot. They kind of give you the generic outfit, but the actual how you look, you can. Actually go into it and change your features. And for me, myself, when I first started, and I was talking to another friend of mine, he says, yeah, just create a female character. And the only reason why it was create a female character was, if I'm going to be spending, days, months, and actually years, if you take a look at the actual stats on the game and when it tells you how long you've been playing, would you rather be staring at a guy, or would you rather be staring at a girl? I know it's an inanimate... it's an inanimate object. There's nothing there. It's just...
Yeah.
You might as well be playing with, watching matchsticks, running up and down the screen, but, normally you'd want, But anyway, that's my opinion. But.
Huh. Okay, so... Yeah. So if we take a step back, so you're basically saying that in WoW... That you're actually, when you create a class, when you pick a class, you're not actually saying you want more strength or more dexterity or more whatever. It's actually kind of just predetermined by the class you're playing?
Yeah, because when you first start, you're level one. So basically, you've got pretty much, you're lucky that you even have a sword or a shield, or depending on what you are.
Right.
You have a wand or a staff or whatnot. They give you just basically a level one unit. Your armor is pretty much crap. It's not really good for anything, as long as nothing hits you. And at the beginning, nothing really does. But with all the classes, they give you, you can either be a male or a female of whatever it is, whether it's Tauren, if you're on the Horde side, or if you want, Night Elves or Blood Elves and humans, they all have their own look, right? Their own base. Then you can go into the features and say, okay, well, the face... it's a woman or guy. You can change the hair. You can change the looks.
Can you change the clothing?
You know what? Over time, after a while, you're able to morph it somehow. I never really got into it, but there is a place where you can go. I think you have to pay something or other, and then you can actually change the looks of it. But I've never really gotten into it that far because I kind of got out of it a little later on, and that's when they started switching things up. Wow. I think you do have that option now, but not back when I was playing.
That's interesting. Actually, I always assumed WoW was completely, you can do whatever you want, create literally what you want, change the look, change your stats, It'll give you kind of a predetermined, hey, you should probably spend your points this way, but it would actually give you points to spend. So it doesn't do that at all.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what class. If you're depending on, you know, if you're a hunter, you may need more crits. You need more. You know, they'll have their strengths. They'll have all your normal attributes, but they'll give you kind of a base for whatever class you're in, and then it'll usually say, for this class, you know, you'd be better off with more strength, or you'd be better off with more crit, or you'd be better off with more, you know, whatever. And then you just kind of go that way when you're picking your gear. And then the gear, when you do pick gear, it will allow you to see what it looks like on you first. But to me, I don't even bother doing that, because I'll just pick whatever the highest stat is.
Interesting. I'm actually a little bit surprised. I didn't think it ran that way. So that's okay. So to use an equivalent, like Elder Scrolls, which is the one I play, which basically is a less cartoonish version of WoW, I guess. Maybe they try to make it a bit more gritty looking in appearance, like the actual art style.
I mean, the newer games are like that. I mean, they look more more realistic, you know, the newer the game.
Yes.
I mean, WoW is a little dated, but I mean, they did upgrade the graphics, I believe, a few years ago, and it looks a little better, but I mean, it's not a great big jump.
No, but I think their style is always to be more cartoonish and less. Like, in Elder Scrolls, the company's mantra, it seems to be, is in any game they do, because they also do Fallout and a few other games, and all of their games have this realistic, lived-in feel. It's kind of depressing a little bit at times. Like, there's a lot more grays and that sort of thing. So,
right.
But in that one, you can actually, you pick your class, you pick your race, and then even when you're picking that, you also get to pick what you look like, but you're limited to, like, I think, I don't know, like 13 presets for face, and you can't really do much to change the appearance, but you can definitely change your stats around.
Okay.
Because the way the game play works in that one is the more you do one thing, the better you get at that one thing. If you only ever do the one thing, you'll only ever get good at the one thing. But you get experience based upon exactly, specifically what you're doing. So in a way, your character becomes the character that you're playing, as opposed to creating a character you want to play, the character becomes the character you're actually playing, if that makes sense.
Right.
So in a way, there's a character generation thing going on there based on your play style. Does WoW do the same, or?
You know what, at the very beginning, I guess when they call it vanilla, you know, like when it first came out, what would happen was if you had a sword and you wanted to bring the stats up, you actually had to actually kill stuff. And as you did, and every time you swiped, you'd gain an experience point. And every time you went up, you'd gain another one.
And you had to use that sword, though, to get the experience, correct?
Yeah, you had to use that sword and actually physically kill things. But they kind of, they abolished that. And then they just said, okay, well, this is your stat, and, you know, that's it. Which I like better, but I mean, it got to the point where I think there was so many people playing, and there was so many things that people, you know, said it wasn't fair. They wanted, you know, they wanted more flight paths, or they wanted, you know, more of this and that. And it got to the point where, I mean, the game is almost nerfed to where it's like, you know what, I can get from level, you know, 1 to 80 in a week. Like, it's just ridiculous, because every time they bring it up a level, because when it first started off was at a level 40, I think, then went 50, then went 60, then went 75. It just kind of all went up, and every time it went up, it was easier to get from level 0 to, you know, up, you know, close to, well, not close to the cap, but whatever the closest with last cap was, so that you didn't spend, you know, 3-4 months trying to, you know, level somebody to get them, you know, to a level that you wanted.
Right.
But, but now, I mean, right now I think it's free to level 20. So, I mean, I created a character because I haven't subscribed to it in a while. So, I mean, there's no, and I'm not paying for it. So it's for the first 20 levels, you can, you know, just zip through it.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing, yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've got heirlooms that I've got because of because I've been playing for so long, I had one of every character up to level 85, and then once I went to 90, it was like, okay, well, I'm not going to redo all this again. But yeah, they give you heirlooms, so if you do start a new character, you get actually a 10% bonus or 5 or whatever. I think it's 10%, depending on the gear that you bought. Because you can get shoulders, you get back, and get your weapon, whatnot, that'll all have these stats on it, pants and chest and whatnot.
Huh.
But actually, I'm getting off topic now, so sorry.
No. That's all very interesting, though, because to tie it into what the topic is, how about, Todd, games like Uncharted and stuff like that, to creating your, like, using the character that they give you versus creating a character in, like, WoW or something like that? What do you think about that? Is that okay, like a linear game?
To create your character, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with Uncharted, so I'm not too sure what kind of stats. Do they give you stats?
No.
Or is it just looks?
No, they give you nothing. You start and you're playing Drake.
And you okay, have, so this is
your
this
button.
Pre-made.
One button, yeah. One button punches. One button kicks. One button climbs, and that's pretty much it. Like, there's no.
With the games nowadays, I mean, you can, they give you the option to be able to at least, you know, change the way they look, like their face and whatnot. But for something like that, I guess, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games out there that are just pretty much generic. It's whatever they give you, and that's it.
I think, like, there's other games too, like Grand Theft Auto and that. I think you can do some stuff. I guess it's the sandbox game versus the linear game. Where do you stand on that? Do you like the sandbox where you can role play a little bit and kind of do whatever you want?
Yes, much better. Because when it's linear, there's just too much. It's just too, like, you can't play it multiple times, really. Well, I mean, you can, but it gets boring right away, and then you just don't want to play it anymore. So if you get these other games where I don't know if we touched on this, but the storylines that, you know, you have multiple storylines in it, depending on what route you take. But if you did it right from the beginning, then you could, you could play the game 3 or 4 times with, like, a whole different storyline altogether. But then again, you know, they wouldn't make any money because, you know, they wouldn't be selling the next game. You'd still be, you know, playing third or fourth character on the last one that they made, yeah.
I think that actually brings up an interesting question. For a game like that, like, so for a game like Mass Effect that has, like, I don't know, one of them had, like, I can't remember how many endings, like 8 or 9 different endings or whatever it was. Like, how, like, if you're bringing more people to buy the game, does that make, like, more people are buying the game, but you're not going to, like, if you're putting, I'm not explaining myself very well. Like, if you, Mass Effect has, like, 3 games out, and then you took a game like Call of Duty, which has, like, 37 different versions of the game out, like, what's the better option? Is it better to just keep cranking new games out, you know, every year, or is it better to have a game that still sells for 3, you know, 4 or 5 years?
Well, I mean, you get the games that have, you know, you like the game, you've done the game, you may have played the game 2 or 3 times because you like it so much, but everything's just the same. So that's when the expansion packs come in, where you can actually have more maps and more things going on to give you more playtime. I mean, they're still making money on their expansions, but because the original game is so popular, at least you have a little more, you know, way more playing time with it.
Yeah, I guess with the value too, like with the expansion packs, like I've noticed, like for Destiny and games like that, the expansion packs are pretty expensive. Like, there's like when the first big expansion happened for Destiny 1, the I'm trying to think, it was like $50. The game, oh, to buy the original game was 80, and then the expansion was like 50. But then if you buy, right, like the ultra elite edition of the expansion, is like $80.
Or they give you like a, So what they do, give you like a USB stick with an extra bonus something for your game?
No, what they'll do, they'll give you the extra playable content, which is nowhere near as much as the original game, in terms of, you know, length of time to play it. But then they'll give you some extra stuff, like, oh, you have extra skins or something, so you get different, or you get extra guns, you can get, a different version of this rifle or a different version of that, you know, shotgun or whatever. Like, they'll give you extras like that. They give you extra gear you can wear or, you know, that kind of stuff. So they'll throw in all these extras to entice you to buy the gold package or whatever, which is more. Right. But you think about it, they've already got the engine. They've already built the engine, or they have an engine for the game that they've made. And I just realized they're totally veering off topic, but that's okay. This is good and nerdy stuff. But, the majority of the money spent on developing the game is developing, the world and the engine that it's in. And when you do an expansion pack off of something with extra adventure stuff, it's not going to be a 30-hour adventure. It's probably going to be a 10-hour adventure. So it's a third of the playable time. And then I can probably assume it's less than a third of development time to put it together, because it's nowhere near as long. You've already built the world that it's in, the color palettes, the art of it's already done, but you're charging $50, so $30 less. So yeah, I think they're making a crap ton off those expansion packs, probably even more than off the game itself. There's less money spent on development.
Exactly.
You're charging less, but not really that much less.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, when you pour all this money into the development of the game, I mean, you've got, I don't know how many programmers and whatnot working on it. But all you're doing is basically an expansion pack, which, I mean, everything's there. So all you're doing is extending the game. But if your game is good enough to support the expansions, then, yeah, I'm all for it, because I love playing a game that, you know, if Grand Theft Auto 5 came out with an expansion pack, I'd probably buy it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, you get mods and stuff you can do, which are fine and stuff, but extra maps and stuff like that are always nice, too.
Yeah, because I'm a box gamer and you're a computer gamer.
Right.
With Xbox, when you buy a game, right out of the gate, you can buy the gold package or the platinum package or however they title it. And right away, you can buy the season pass. So it comes with the season pass. So you buy the game for $80. You spend $30 or $40 on a season pass. I think that's what it is. So you're basically buying the game for $130 or $130. But what that gets you is you get every single expansion pack and or thing, like anything that comes out, you get the minute it comes out. You just have to download it.
Right.
So for a game for Gears of War, we bought the season pass right out of the gate for Gears. For example, Gears 3, we still play to this day, and Gears came out on the Xbox 360.
Right.
Gears 3. And we still
play it. Now, did you finish it and then replay it?
Yep.
See, that's where it's worth having the expansion packs. And if the company knows that this game is worthy of, you know, instead of redeveloping a whole new game, put out these expansion packs and, you know, sure, that's...
But here's
the replay value.
Yeah, it's really high. Here's where it's different than, a sandbox game. Like, a game like Gears of War, you're playing the game, when you first play the game, you're playing it on, the average level or regular level. And then you're like, okay, I figured the mechanics of the game, and then you play it on the hard level. And then you get that, because you're actually fishing for accomplishments. You're like, okay, I want to beat it on this level. And then you basically work your way up to insane. But the difference with a game like Gears of War 4, Gears of War 3, is that you can play a two-player game cooperatively, or you can play with your friends cooperatively. So it's a whole different experience. Like, playing the game by yourself and beating the game by yourself, yeah, there's a challenge to doing that, and it's fun. But you can also do the same thing with, you know, more players and do it all. Plus, they also have this whole other side of it, this cooperative multiplayer thing in there, too, that's not playing the campaign, but that's playing a whole other side of the game. So the replayability is, like, phenomenal. It's a ton of fun.
Do you remember years ago that when they had, I mean, they had the Atari, they had the Coleco, they had all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then they came out with one that was called, I think it was called the Phoenix, or no, there was a name of it. And what it did is it actually accepted, was it Sega games and Atari games? I don't know, there was one of them that accepted a couple different ones. And you see some of it going nowadays, because, I mean, you get the Xbox, and then, I mean, Xbox One, which is virtually a computer. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't have the platform where, say, you could be playing your Xbox and I could be playing PC and we could both play together, but then you run into the issue where if you have an Xbox, then you need an Xbox account, which means, I mean,
yep,
they want the residual income. Like, they want the cash coming in. And they ain't going to get it from me, because I buy the game, I can go online, and it doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is different.
Right now, the only thing that's blocking... the only thing blocking game, like playing games, so like Microsoft, they like, I mean, they own computers, right? So if you have Windows 10 and you have an Xbox, there's some games you can play together. I don't know how well it works because I haven't actually tried it. But
well,
I'd love to try that. What's that?
I'd love to try that. But the only thing is if it's an Xbox game, you're gonna need. I mean, you have to have your
membership Xbox Live account. Yeah.
That. Now, what they're going to do is probably have to, like, if I want to play with you, then I would have to buy an Xbox, even though I don't have an Xbox.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think I don't think that's fair for them to do it that way. Like, the Xbox Live account, the PS Live account, whatever, it's a cash grab, and you do get incentives. Like, they do give you something for it. You get... Every month you get 3 free downloadable games.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a month you get 3 free downloadable games on the Xbox Live. So I think they're trying. I think if they gave more incentives, people might do that. But I don't think there's enough games that are cross compatible that make it worth getting a membership at all.
Right.
So.
I mean, the technology is there. Like, if you have, say just Grand Theft Auto, for example. Okay, I got it for PC. Say you have Grand Theft Auto for Xbox.
Yeah.
One, someone else has it for, say, PlayStation. I mean, the technology is there to the point. Because if they don't do anything, someone else is going to say, you know what? We're going to do cross-platform. We're going to have our own servers. It's not going to cost anybody anything.
Yeah.
Because, with all these movie sharing things, like, a lot of people will do it and not expect to get anything out of it, just be able to do it.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't do it. And it's the same with music. I mean, people, you know, they're downloading music. They had to come up with something to be able to catch the people doing it, to be able to say, okay, you know what, we'll do it. We'll sell you the downloads because they were available. Because at one point they weren't.
Yeah.
And just technology has gone to the point where you might be able to do, you know, all this stuff. And then everybody can kind of play, and it doesn't matter what platform that you have.
Yeah, I know there was definitely talks, and Xbox pretty much said that they're willing to have their games, as long as it's a cross-platform game, have their games talk to PS4 games. But PS4 are the ones holding their hands up. Because I think when you're doing cross-platform that way, because the PS has their own Xbox Live, whatever it's called there, and Xbox has their own, but they have to get people on Xbox Live and people on the PS network to allow, okay, I've got my membership for Xbox One, you have your membership for the PS4, like your subscription membership. So how do you allow those people to talk to each other? They're both paying a monthly member or a yearly membership fee, but how are they going to talk to each other? Because it's on two. Well, like, are they just going to allow it as long as you have your account within your own network and they have their own account within their own network that you can play? Or does that mean the person on the PS4 has to get an Xbox Live membership in order to play with someone on Xbox Live? Like, it's so complicated.
I'm assuming it's the same. Well, I don't know. This may be a totally different comparison. But say you have a rail line running through your city, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got, say you got, VIN or whatever, you got CP rail, you got CN rail. I mean, everybody's using the same line, for example, right?
Yes.
So everybody's paying somebody. Like,
yes.
somebody's the common denominator. You almost have to have a conglomerate say, okay, you know what? It'll be like an association, like everything else. Like, you'll have all your plumbers together, you have all your carpenters, you have an association for your gaming. You'd have one central hub that would have all your different platforms, and they would have all the, game wrappers or whatever it is that they use to be able to use, like, say, if you had a game from your Sony unit you stuck in your computer and it had a wrapper or something that would actually play the game. So, I mean, you like I said, the technology's there. It's just a matter of doing it. But who gets paid? That's the big question. It's always about the dollar.
It's so proprietary and all messed up. I don't think it's ever going to happen properly, the cross-platform thing. Now that we've talked about it, I'm like, I can't see enough people agreeing, because everyone's going to be like, well, I'm not going to get money for this. I'm not going to get money for this. Like, it's so difficult.
Exactly. That's probably the big stumble point. It's not that they can't do it. I'm sure they could do it.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do it, because, they've done it in the past with, I think, older... Didn't they do it with other older games or anything?
Well, yeah, you can buy an emulator box that allows you to play all old Nintendo. Like, it's got, like... I've seen one of these. It has a port in it that you can play all old Nintendo games, like all versions. Excuse me. All versions of PS games, all versions of Xbox games. Or no. I think it's just, like, 32-bit games, so... all Atari, all old Nintendo, Sega, whatever, all in one box.
Right, so it has been done.
It has been done on 32-bit games, but I don't see why you couldn't do it on non-32-bit games.
I mean, everything's like, what, 64-bit now or whatnot. So, I mean, it's gonna take more power to run, you know, especially if you're running cross-platforms, you definitely need something that's, you know, fairly hefty.
Yeah.
But that could be a sticking point, too. Because, you know, if someone wanted to do that, their system would cost them, you know, if they wanted an actual system, it would cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Without having to go, say, cross-platform, like through the internet, through your, you know, PC with your Xbox and whatnot. But if you had one actual unit that played all the games...
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't say anything because someone's going to do it. make the big bucks.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm going to cap it off here. We're going to end the episode here. I'm actually
at my house,
but I want to throw this out here and I want to see if people react, but, I would like to set up a time for you and I to go do some virtual reality. And review the virtual reality afterwards.
That'd be cool.
I'm trying to get my brother-in-law, Paulo. He's still in Portugal, but he's back this week. I was talking to him about it because I did go and do it, and it was freaking cool. But I want to kind of assemble a group to go do it again. I take it you're interested?
Well, hey, we could do the same as when we did your bachelor party.
Yeah.
We did the airsoft. We'll just get the whole group back together. We're going to do virtual reality this time, so we won't have to worry about welts and
exactly.
Stuff getting shot.
And they do have paintball within the virtual reality. You can play virtual paintball. It's actually pretty fun.
Right.
So I think I'd like to do that and maybe kind of do and kind of talk about it afterward, and just because I kind of really want to talk about the VR thing, but I think it'd be good to get, like, I think this is in your wheel well for sure, so let's organize that, and we're going to have a future podcast planned on what was the virtual reality like, because I've got my opinions of it, but I want to get some other opinions too.
Right.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to set that up.
That sounds awesome.
When Paulo gets back, I'm going to talk to him. We'll start discussing a date, and then we'll see who else we want to invite. I think it might be fun to have, like, kind of interesting personalities. Like, we had Corey come, and...
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. Corey, because Corey Airsoft did with us, with me at one time before. I can't remember if it was with us or not, but it was freaking fun. Very fun.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a whole experience. You said you did it, right?
Yeah, we did it for a bachelor party for Thomas's, and it was a lot of freaking fun.
Yeah, like I've seen the VR glasses. Actually, you can buy them. Doesn't seem to be that expensive for, I think, if you're your phone and whatnot. But I've never tried it. But
yeah, like what game?